I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
We're ripping it with Ryan here this week. Vinny's on vacation. Bob Haney. Ryan Ripken. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. As broke last week, I think it was Thursday, Nolan, correct me if I'm wrong, the end of the show, Derrick Henry reached a contract extension with the Ravens, 2 years, $30 million. He's going to get 20 of that, I believe, guaranteed, oldest contract or richest contract for a 30-plus running back. Well, today, along with Willie Taggart, running back coach, Derrick Henry, met with the media. As we're a couple of weeks away from OTAs out there at One Winning Drive. And here's Derrick Henry talking about said contract extension with the Baltimore team.
First and foremost, I want to give a big thanks to the Rashada family, Eric DaCosta and his staff, Raven Nation, Flock Nation, for all the support. And, you know, I'm very grateful and blessed to be in this position. Couldn't do it without my teammates who helped me get in this position to receive a blessing like this. And I'm just grateful to be able to be in this league this long and get another opportunity like this.
A lot of talk, Ryan, before the season last year, how Derrick Henry would mesh with Lamar. Mm-hmm. No pun intended, with, you know, running the RPOs a lot. And he was more of a traditional, you know, I-back runner, if you will. And he's coming off a season in Tennessee where he was over 1,000 yards, but barely over 4 yards a carry. I think his biggest game was against the Ravens when they played over in London or whatever the hell it was. But last year. And I thought that was a non-story, quite frankly.
Yep.
I figured he was going to be good, but not 1,921 yards, 6 yards a carry, 16 touchdowns. Good. He had a brilliant, one of the great seasons ever by a running back. And next to Jamal Lewis, the second best season ever by a Raven. So, did he exceed? How much did he exceed your expectations going into last year? And does he need to duplicate that this season for this to be a successful year for him and for Baltimore?
Well, I think it's what you deem as a success. The Ravens win the Super Bowl, it's going to be successful regardless if he runs for 2,000, 1,000, or anything in between, as long as he is a part of that, of making the team get to where they want to go. Was I expecting 1,900 yards last year? No, but did I think Derrick Henry had a lot left in the tank? Yes, because I trust the athlete. You trust the player and the preparation. I mean, I've watched these workouts, and I'm sure you have too, Bob. Obviously, it reminds me of what you were doing just 10 years ago.
10 minutes
you know,
ago.
Yeah, exactly. Of just the different forms of putting his body through stress and strain, but also how he just takes care of himself. So I love what he's capable of doing, and also I was excited because he was going from where, I'm not going to say it was a dormant offense in Tennessee, but we call a spade, they didn't have the weapons, they were focusing on him constantly, and then that made people question if Derrick Henry, you know, was slowing down. You could argue last year, Bob, right? That Derrick Henry's best season of his career might have been last year, given only 325 carries to the 1 year he reached over 2,000 yards, where he was pushing closer to 400, 378 to be exact. So I think he's going to have another great year. I really do. But I'm not going to expect him to put up 16 tutties and push 2K again, but I think he's going to be good.
But 1,500, Nolan, what do you think? 1,500, 5.5 yards. I mean, we expect some level of dippage because I think Lamar's going to take his pass. What, can't get any better than 41-4, but
yeah.
You dig where I'm coming from here. I think the weaponry for Lamar to throw the ball is pretty off the charts. But 1,500, 5.5, 10 TDs, I think we're cool with that, right?
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. I think a lot of it will have to do with, you know, what are the complementary pieces around him? And I'm not really talking about Lamar there. I'm talking more so about your other running backs. I mean, this past season, he shouldered pretty much the entire load. And sure, Justice Hill was around to take on a probably the biggest load he had in his career, but are you going to get a healthy Keaton Mitchell that commands the reps that he's going to get? Because that's not just throwing a guy a bone when you try to get Keaton Mitchell involved. That's getting a guy involved because you know what he brings, that change of pace. So I think it could help everyone overall, even if Henry sees, say, a step back in his carries, give some of these other guys a little bit more of the workload, he could still be as efficient as he's been, I guess.
And as Harbaugh said, you mentioned Keaton Mitchell. They expect him to be more like the one 2 years ago before he got hurt on that, was it Monday night against Jacksonville? He was averaging almost 8 yards a carry. He had passed Dobbins and Gus Edwards as the guy running the football. Then the catastrophic knee injury. So maybe we'll see him, because that speed was off the charts, maybe closer to what he was in 23.
Yeah, I think people forget how many weapons the Ravens actually have at their disposal. I mean, oh, by the way, they did sign DeAndre Hopkins this offseason.
Yeah, and I'm not lost in the shuffle, isn't it?
And this isn't the D-Hop who was at his prime, right? This could be the D-Hop towards the end of the road for him, but still another option for Lamar Jackson. The running back room, if they're healthy, it should just be able to hopefully give Derek rest. I think the biggest thing that Ravens fans want, if you're winning, Derek gets his touches that helps you win that game, but make sure he's ready to go to carry it in the postseason, because that's when you know you're going to need him. You're going to need him for the tough moments. So if he gets 325 carries, is 300 fair to say, Bob? 300 carries plus next year?
Yeah.
If you're happy, if it drops a little bit, but it preserves him for the long run, I think that's a successful year.
Let's just hope he gets some of them carries when it's first and goal on the 5 in a divisional round game.
But, we just did.
NFL Lunch. We're ribbing it with Ryan, Bob Hayden, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. And real quick, they open against Buffalo, rematch of that dramatic game that ended their season. Justin Tucker's gone. Tyler Loop is now going to be the dude. And I know you talked to Nick Moore, the long snapper. So, I mean, it was the Wolf Pack with Tucker and I can't remember the other guy, Morgan Cox and Sam Cook. Now it's a kind of a new, whatever their nickname is, but Tucker's gonzo. And Tyler Loop has some big, big, big shoes to fill, and he's going to be under that microscope big time in that national TV game.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that is the biggest storyline for me with the Baltimore Ravens. You know, if he makes 3 kicks and it's a game winner in Buffalo, guess what we're talking about, Bob? The Ravens found the next great kicker for them. Or he doesn't have success, or whoever. Maybe it's not Loop. You never know what happens. But whoever it is, he goes out there and doesn't perform, guess what we're talking about? Well, do the Ravens have a kicking problem as they're trying to chase down a Super Bowl title?
Yeah, and who knows what Justin Tucker is going to be doing mid-season, whether or not he feels the Sheriff Goodell hammer of suspension with that investigation still ongoing. When we come back, we'll shift back to baseball. American League East report. We know the Orioles week was not great. What a big weekend for the division at all, except for Yankee fans. We'll get into that, and we'll talk some more NFL. Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network. Should NFL players be allowed to play flag football in the Olympics? If I had a big-time investment like Lamar Jackson, I'm a strong no to that one.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
Ribbing it with Ryan this week. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass here on this Monday. Orioles, well, brutal weekend for them. Got swept by the Nats. I was on the hills of getting swept by the Twins. So, according to my GED math, they were 0-6 during the six-game homestand. A lot of those were thumpings. you had the doubleheader loss where they led both games.
Yep.
And let those get away. Two great third innings. And then Saturday and Sunday, those things were mismatches. And the Orioles did try to make it competitive with the long ball. But Brandon Hyde loses his job as he is relieved of duties, shall we say. 2019 he took over. I don't know how you felt, but I always thought he was kind of a Bo Porter kind of guy. Yeah. Like he was going to take the lumps as the young players developed, and then the A.J. Hinch would come in and take over and get all the accolades. But, I mean, he rode through the crap, then rode the success, and now that they bottomed out, he becomes the scapegoat, it seems, for why they are where they are right now.
Yeah, I was right there with you where I felt that he wasn't going to be able to see the quote-unquote project through. But he did. They had a lot of success over 3 years. And then just quickly like that, in an instant, it's over. And people are focusing on so much of the negative than what he did bring back to Baltimore, with Brandon Hyde leading this team. 3 straight winning seasons. Most wins in the American League over a 2.5-year period here. And then, you know, all things come to an end. And to be honest, too, we mentioned in earlier talking with Nolan, if the Orioles had won a playoff series and people had no doubts that this team, if healthy and everything was going well, that they could make some noise, Brandon Hyde probably still the manager of this ball club. But because that didn't happen and expectations rose, well, something had to give, and it was Brandon Hyde's job.
Yep, 0-5 in the postseason. The Orioles the last 2 seasons, 4 of those losses at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But Brandon Hyde, how quickly does he resurface as a big league skipper? I mean, I guess he'll probably enjoy the rest of his summer.
Yep.
And then maybe reset things. I'm guessing he'll be in a uniform in some capacity here soon.
Yeah, I mean, whether he's actually going to be a manager next year or latching on with the coaching staff somewhere else, you know, I kind of can't tell what teams will do. And it depends on, I guess, what teams are looking for. You know, and I don't know what the pulse is for Brandon Hyde, but what I do believe is he should deserve a managerial position at some point, but it might not be next year given what teams are going to be looking for.
So as the Orioles go to Milwaukee tonight, Dean Kramer 3-5 with a 5.36 against Quinn Prester 1-2 with a 4.59. 7:40 first pitch. Ryan and Tim Barbalace will get you ready for that game starting at 6:00 tonight. Here on The Fan with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. In the American League East yesterday, Atlanta taking on the Red Sox, and a guy with a big stick broke it out against Red Sox pitching.
Marcell Ozuna kissed that one goodbye. It leaves the building again.
Yeah, I had a feeling the Big Bear was going to do that one in this at-bat.
That is a big fly for the Big Bear.
FanDuel Sportsnet on the call. Marcell Ozuna, homer, 3 ribbies yesterday. Braves pound out 16 hits. Schwellenbach picks up the win as Atlanta wins 10-4 over Boston and takes that weekend series, Ryan, 2-1.
And the Atlanta Braves are over 500 now. It just felt like a blip ago. They were 0-7. They lost to 2 pretty good teams. But look how quickly they turned it around. They're starting to get healthier themselves. And also, Bob, don't look now, because of that stretch, Atlanta Braves actually have the best record since, I think it's like April 19th or something like that in the National League. 18-10, 19-10. They're starting to find their rhythm here at the right time.
And Spencer Strider comes back from the IL tomorrow.
That always helps, too.
And then old Ronald Acuna is creeping up the old rehab ladder.
Don't look now, Bob. Braves are getting hot.
Tigers taking on the Blue Jays, and a former highly regarded draft pick had a big hit late for Detroit.
That is a line drive center field down for a base hit off the slider. Torres around third. He's on his way home. He gets there. The out made after the run scores. The Tigers do take the lead.
That's FanDuel as well. Spencer Torkelson with the hit there in the 8th inning. Drove in a run, as you heard. Backup runner got hosed there. Jackson Joe goes 6 strong. He's now 4-0 with a 4.12. He's the reverse Charlie Morton. They've won Detroit every game he's pitched in this year, where the Orioles Correct me if I'm wrong. They've literally lost every game that Charlie. He hasn't lost all the games, but every game he's pitched in, the Orioles have lost.
Every game that Charlie Morton has entered, the Orioles have not won that game. So, but Joby, he's, I mean, look, him, the Tigers, and look, he's taken some of his lumps in his rookie year. You know, four ERAs, figuring it out. But I'll tell you what, who's got it figured out is the Tigers. They are locked in. They're playing confidently. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're playing with a freeness, Bob. They're playing like a team that believes in themselves. And right now, they are the best team in the American League.
Yeah, took two out of three from the Blue Jays in that weekend series. Let's go down to Florida. Marlins taking on the Rays. And got a couple of long balls going on there for Miami.
Now Caminero's back at third. Here's a drive in the air. Left field. Andy way back there and gone. A go-ahead three-run homer for Otto Lopez. His third of the season here in the fourth.
FanDuel again. Otto Lopez and Hicks both go deep, as you heard on the call there. It was Miami 5-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays. Connor Norby was 1-for-4. For Miami, Kyle Stowers 1-for-3 as the Marlins take 2 out of 3 from Tampa. We're sensing a theme here, aren't we, in the AL?
We might be. And also, how about that? Connor Norby hitting third. Kyle Stowers batting cleanup hitting fourth, right? I know that stings. And especially, did you see MLB Network? They're trolling at this point, by the way. They put out a graphic. Let's revisit the trade from last year for the Orioles. Salt in the wound there. But I'm happy to see them have success. And the Marlins do have some young pieces, Bob, which is going to be interesting to watch. And Kyle Stowers, he's an all-star right now.
No doubt about it.
So I'm so happy for him.
And then finally, in the Battle of New York at Yankee Stadium, some late fireworks from a former league MVP.
Swings and sends one to right. That sends Soto back. He is on the track. He reaches. It's a grand slam.
ESPN on the call, Cody Bellinger. Grand slam in the eighth inning. He drove in 6 on the night. Devin Williams has had a rough go of it. Starting to get it together a little bit. He picks up the win out of the bullpen. But, Ryan, you and I were talking off the air prior to the Bellinger grand slam. The Yankees did some fundamentally sound stuff to keep that inning alive.
Yeah, you know that old phrase, put it in play and see what happens. And you put pressure on the defense. Vivas is a player for the Yankees, and you probably don't know who he is.
Never heard
right?
of him.
He's a guy that's been called up and down here a couple times, and going into this game, he was hitting a cool 167. And he fell behind 0-2 in the count, Bob. He worked an 11-pitch at bat then, 9 more pitches, puts the ball in play, contact play. Pete Alonso fields it, throws it away. Yankees take the lead, and yes, Pete should make the play. But that's why if you put it in play, good things can happen. Leads to a Goldschmidt base hit. And ultimately, Belly puts the exclamation point on a series win for the Bronx Bombers.
Yep, 2-1 series win for New York. 8-2 was the final score. AL East report, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken here on this Monday. Today in the division, Mets at the Red Sox, Astros at the Rays, and then the Orioles, of course, in Milwaukee. Tomorrow, Texas goes to the Yankees. That'll be interesting. And the Padres come a cropper here over the weekend. They're at Toronto. Yankees, 27-19, 5 games up on both Boston and Toronto. Tampa 6 out, Orioles 11.5 out. And we talked about this earlier, Ryan. Right now, New York, the only team in the AL East above 500.
I don't think anyone was expecting that, nor were they expecting the Baltimore Orioles to be 15 games under 500 and the second worst team in the American League right now.
Tigers 5 up on the Twins in the Central. Guardians have lost 4 in a row. They're 5.5 out, as is Kansas City. White Sox bringing up the rear, 17 back. Seattle's 2.5 up on Houston and Texas. Rangers have been on a heater here. They won 7-10. Just had a winning streak snap. A's are 5 back. They've been struggling. Losers of 5 in a row. Angels in last place there. Mets half game up on the Phillies. The Braves, who we just talked about, they're now 5 off the pace. Nats are 8.5 out. Marlins are 10 back. Cubbies are 2 up on the Cardinals. in the Central there. Reds are 4.5. Brewers are 6. They've lost 7 of 10. And the Orioles will see them tonight. Pirates, they're in last place. Skeensy lost a tough one last night. And the Dodgers game up on both San Francisco, San Diego. Diamondbacks are 4 out. And the Rockies, well, they're 8-38. And their run differential is minus 144. And it's May 19th. They're already 20.5 games out of first place.
That's it? Only 20.5 out right now?
Orioles are the 69 Orioles compared to that team.
Hey, well, I got to tell people, I don't envy being on a team losing that much. It is a, the phrase was, you got to try to be fresh coming in each day. It's hard to feel fresh and feel confident when you're getting beat left and right each night.
When we come back, Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network, talk to him about what's happening in the National Football League as we're getting closer to OTA times. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2, followed by BBT, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, Tim Barbalace, and Ryan Ripken. Get you ready for Orioles and Brewers. 6.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To be one of the top teams in the National Football League. Here to talk about that and more from NFL.com, NFL Network. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Jeffrey Chedia. Jeffrey, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're hanging in there, Jeffrey. And before we get to, you know, we did the whole, hey, we're going to be 13-4 based on the schedule thing last week. But what we've been asking, or I have anyway, all of our esteemed NFL guests, you're based in KC. You've watched the greatness that is Patrick Mahomes, multiple Super Bowls, MVPs, having 7 straight conference championship games. But is the gap closed between Mahomes and Lamar and Allen, Burrow, in regards to, as we sit here on May 19th, who the best quarterback in football is right now? Or is he still the guy, in your opinion?
Oh, he's still the guy, but I definitely believe the gap is closed. I mean, I always tell people you have to remember that when Patrick came in the league, he joined a team that had won 2 straight AFC West championships. They had a future Hall of Fame tight end, future Hall of Fame wide receiver, future Hall of Fame defensive tackle. They were loaded. And I know that when Lamar Jackson took over in Baltimore, John Harbaugh's job was in question. We all know Buffalo and Cincinnati were not great teams. So I think there's a lot to be said for quarterbacks who have to go the hard route to get where they need to be. But all these guys have done great things. They're probably all going to end up with MVPs and championships. And yeah, I think at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, they'll be closer to him than people realize.
And Jeffrey, there's a lot of great quarterbacks in the AFC then specifically, but then there's also some pretty good teams. Now, we do know, we just mentioned, we're talking about with Patrick Mahomes still being a front runner, and the Chiefs are probably still going to be that team that everyone's going to continue to chase. And we know that the Ravens should be in the mix. We expect them to. Buffalo. And then Cincinnati, if you're buying that they can get over their September woes, that they can get hot. But maybe, I saw you were covering with the AFC West. Specifically, though, that's a tough division this year. Is there a sleeper team in your mind that maybe could make a little bit of buzz or that you're intrigued with following in the AFC this year?
Oh, I think Denver certainly is in that conversation. I know that they're not much of a sleeper team when they made the playoffs last year, but I like the direction they've been going under Sean Payton. They obviously found a talented quarterback last year in the draft in Bo Nix, and they've built a really good defense. I like what they did in the draft, getting Jadae Barron at cornerback, and I think the running back they got, Harvey, is going to be a good running back for them. So I think that they're making the right steps, and you're right, that division's tougher. Because when you think about it, coaching has been a big part of the success of the Chiefs. They've just had better coaching across the board, and those other teams haven't been able to put the same depth of intelligence and execution together. But when you have Sean Payton there now, when you have Jim Harbaugh, and you have Pete Carroll in the division, it makes it harder for the Chiefs to always have that advantage. So I definitely think that's going to be a tougher division, and the Broncos look good to me.
They certainly do. A lot of pieces that were added there so far. And I guess then going back to the Ravens felt like they've always had a complete team, you know, for the most case. They feel like they have I wouldn't say they should have everything, Bob, but it feels like they almost have.
Except for a kicker.
Yeah, and maybe that's it. I mean, Jeffrey, is that really the headline you think for the Baltimore Ravens going into this year? Is, oh, how is their new kicker going to go? Or do you have something else that you're curious with this Ravens club?
Well, you know, it's funny. When you end the season, we always do an article about, you know, with big questions facing every team once the season ends. And it was tough for me to find one for the Ravens. Just from their roster, obviously they had to re-sign Ronnie Stanley, but that was really, maybe Mark Andrews was hanging out there. But you look at their roster, and it's hard to find a team that is that deep, that talented. And that includes the team that won it all. That mm-hmm. includes the team that came in second place. I mean, yeah, I look at what they've done as far as building that roster. It's hard to find a weakness. And if I'm in Baltimore, if I'm in that building, I'm a fan, I'm kicking myself. Go the way the last 2 years have gone in the playoffs, because they've only beaten themselves. And if they're able to correct that stuff this season with what they have, I certainly think it's very plausible they end up winning a championship. But those are big things for them to fix.
Well, the Orioles just fired their manager, and if it was up to some of the fans, John Harbaugh would have been gone 2 years ago. Jeffrey Chedid from NFL.com, NFL Network. A couple of business things that the NFL is looking into. First of all, the tush push, what's the future there? And maybe flag football with NFL players? Is that something that is going to be allowed?
You know, the tush push to me, I've always stood on, look, if you're innovative and you're exceptional at what you do, you shouldn't get penalized for that. And so I understand people don't like it. I understand people think it's wrong. But for me, it's you play football. It's a physical game. You have to find a way to stop it. And so for it to be stopped or possibly be stopped in a boardroom doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But it feels like they're trying to find a way to make that happen. And flag football is, it's hard for me to see the NFL benefiting from having their players playing in this event. Like, it's different with basketball, where you're talking about the world stage and other countries have professionals playing. I imagine it'd be hard to find professional football players in Germany or Italy or whatever else that would compete with whatever the NFL would put out there. So I think they'd be okay with having just the guys who were specializing in flag football play in this.
Yeah, there was a time where I was actually good at flag football, so we know how that would all turn out if it was NFL players, for sure. Jeffrey Chedid, NFL.com, NFL Network. Jeffrey, always great to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll talk to you after OTAs, which will be here in, what, less than 2 weeks, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys are the same. Thank you very much.
There's Jeffrey Chedid. Just when they think it's always quiet time in the NFL, something percolates and makes some noise. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2 o'clock. We're ripping it with Ryan. Orioles in Milwaukee tonight, taking on the Brewers. BBT at 6. The last couple of outings, but, you know, Kramer's a couple shaky starts, but up until his last performance, he had been dealing in a big way.
You know, just
nice that the bats contributed to the
get club. Rid of the month of April for Dean, and his numbers would look very good. I mean, even the last start, you know, for looking at it up close, he still went 5 2/3 and gave up 4 earned runs. Now, the only problem was it's a 3-run jack with 2 outs in the third in a 4-run inning after the Orioles put up a couple runs to go up 3-0. So, but Dino, he's got 2.75 ERA on the month, right? So, hopefully he's putting it together, and hopefully he can stop the bleeding, Bob. We need a little bit of positivity here. Ravens, Orioles are getting the victory tonight, right? No doubt. No doubt at all.
I mean, if Kramer is going to be the same guy we've seen from him recently, I'd give you a shot. But the offense, it's an up-and-down thing. You know, one night they score nothing. Next night they might give you 5 or 6, but it just never lines up. Never, you don't get a good pitching performance and a good lineup performance at the same time.
Controlled environment, Milwaukee, by the way. But go back to 2 years ago, we hearkened back during the whip. Orioles were down 5-0 after first or second inning. They weren't done. You knew they were going to find a way to come back and at least make it a game. They're down 5-0 now. It might as well be 50-0. Because their offense, as we've discussed multiple times, quite frankly, has been rather offensive here in 2025. Nolan, anything else before we get to the fun house, where I'm sure it's relatively quiet today?
Yeah, I'm struggling to come up with text here.
Yeah.
Quick Draw's Fun House.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Now, today's one of those days where you can't read all the text. There's just simply too many, or the language isn't quite suitable. But we'll do what we can. We'll start here with Travis in Parkville. It says, Brandon Hyde's equity, or any equity that he may have had in the past, ran out after the Rangers' playoff loss in 2023. Realistically, he should have been let go after that. He has no skills to manage in the playoffs, and that was proven again last year.
Okay. I know that we're going to look at the playoff losses, and I agree. That Rangers series, hey, look, you didn't win a game. But the Rangers also, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, they won 11 straight road games for Texas.
And they had a losing record on the road that year, too.
And they snuck back into the playoffs. So I'm going to give Brandon Hyde grace there. And last year, the Orioles had the chances. Their pitching was there. You had the guys up that you wanted in the position, and they didn't hit. Now, hey, why did he get fired? Because they didn't win those series. That's going to be on him. But I don't think it's all on Brandon Hyde for those woes in the postseason. But he's the one that pays the price because of where the team is at and what they didn't accomplish in the previous years.
Russell and Frederick says the O's absolutely the biggest disappointment in baseball. He predicted somewhere in the high 80s in terms of a win total and a wild card spot at that. But they can't pitch, they can't hit, they can't do the fundamentals well. I think it's gotten more mental for the players, especially with having so much talent and hype around them. Not getting it done in the playoffs doesn't help either. Do feel bad for Hyde a little bit, as it's not all his fault, but it was certainly a factor.
Yeah, he contributed to it, no doubt about it, and there's things that he could have done better as a manager. But this is way deeper rooted than making a managerial change. And yeah, the Orioles have been the most disappointing story throughout baseball. They were one of the favorites in the American League. They were ready to take a step forward. And a team like the Chicago White Sox, that everyone expected to be one of baseball's worst, maybe historically, the Orioles now only have one more victory than them at this point in the season. Woof, Nolan.
Another texter here says the problem with the team is the over-focus on analytics. If you ask me, Sig Meidel should be gone. It's in their heads. Constant overthinking about analytics, how they're supposed to hit, swing speed, swing plane, everything else. It's all messed with these guys in their head. Why else would the whole team be stinking it up at the same time?
Oh, there is such a thing as sensory overload. Craig Biggio said that when I got a chance to talk to him. Analytics are a part of the game. They're not going away. But how do you best utilize that, and how do you get that out of your mind when you're in the batter's box and you're facing a pitcher? What do you need to do to be prepared? So I do think that is something that has to be addressed, is how do you get the human element side back in the game more, and how do you cater to the players individually figuring things out? Because right now, it's been a lot of failure.
And last text here comes from Matt in New Orleans. Says the O's need to raid a successful organization, find an assistant GM elsewhere, give them a shot at constructing a real major league roster over here, one that consists of no less than four quality starting pitchers capable of going six innings.
Well, I think there's a lot of teams that are looking for four pitchers that can go six or more innings consistently. Look, I know people are frustrated with Mike Elias and the team of what's been constructed, but grace period right now. Give them the opportunity to reflect and make a change, right? And if it's in 2026 and the same things, the same cat and mouse dance, whatever it's considered. I don't know. I'm bad with phrases today, Nolan. You get my drift. He deserves the right to go out there and fix it. But if he doesn't fix it in 26, then hey, you might be looking elsewhere.
Texter brought up Sig Meidel. It got me to thinking, you know who George Will is?
Yep.
George Will, Nolan?
No idea.
Bueller, anyone?
Nope.
He's like a Politico, brainiac guy. He wrote a book about baseball called Men at Work back in 1990. And it's got 50 Cent words out the yin yang in it. And I believe he did a chapter on Cal. So I'm reading it. A buddy of mine got it for me for my birthday or whatever. And I'm reading it. I'm like, I don't understand anything that's being written in this book. So they did a parody of it on Saturday Night Live, where Dana Carvey was George Will, John Lovitz with Tommy Lasorda, and Corbin Burnson, was Mike Schmidt. And he's like asking all these nerd questions about baseball to those two. And they finally hit the breaking point, and they threw him a ball and said, "Throw the ball, George! Throw the ball!" And he went, "Eh." And the ball went like 2 feet, and they laughed him off the stage. Is that Sigmai Death?
I couldn't get out of my head your little voice over there. Eh.
And it was like, eh. Anyway, check it out. It's on YouTube. George Will parody, Dana Carvey, piffle or non-piffle, whatever that means. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow, hopefully talking about the Orioles breaking this 6-game losing streak and all the other sports stuff happening over the next 24 hours. Inside Access coming out next, followed by BBT, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services with Ryan and Tim Barbalace. For Nolan McGraw, Ryan Ripken, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.